As Father mentioned, this weekend we celebrate the feast of our Lord's ascension into heaven, a feast that is one of the earliest feasts celebrated in Christianity, dating back to the year 68. Traditionally, the feast of the ascension was always celebrated on a Thursday, exactly 40 days after Easter and the resurrection. In the early 90s, Roman Catholic churches from around the world sought permission from the Vatican to move the observance from the traditional Thursday to the Sunday before Pentecost, thinking the move would encourage more Catholics to celebrate this feast day. Now, in the United States, it's a bit quirky. Our Conference of Bishops declared that the feast could be celebrated either on the traditional Thursday or moved to Sunday. And they left the decision in the hands of each diocese in the United States. So much for standardization. But the Feast of the Assumption seems to take a back seat to some degree. We typically focus on the biggies: Christ's birth, his death, and resurrection. We typically think that once Christ rose on Easter Sunday, his work on earth was finished. Well, if that were the case, why did he hang around for 40 additional days, appearing to his disciples here and there, and needless to say, appearing unannounced? One of my favorite accounts of his post-resurrection appearances took place on the road to Emmaus. Scripture tells us there were two of his disciples moping along the road, lamenting their sadness of Jesus' death, when they were suddenly joined by a third person. Well, you know who that was, but the disciples did not. And it was not until they sat together at a table that night that it suddenly dawned on them. But upon their realization, poof, Jesus disappeared. The significance of those 40 days was this. Christ wanted to finish his teaching by reminding those disciples about the future and what he expected them to do. To use a modern phrase, maybe, it was a summary recap of all his basic teachings while on earth, a final quiz. Love one another. Feed my sheep. Go forth and make disciples. When those 40 days had passed, it is written that he took them up to the Mount of Olives, where they witnessed firsthand his glorious ascension into heaven. But once out of human sight, what did they do? They just stood there staring into the sky. Staring until two men appeared, saying, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky?" Their point was really simple. Stop looking at the past and move on. We have much work to do. There is great theological significance attached to that moment of the ascension. Christian author Tim Keller writes that the ascension, when understood, becomes an irreplaceable important resource for living our lives in the world. As noted before, we focus on those three big events, but without the ascension, Easter is incomplete. Pentecost is impeded, and the second coming would be impossible. Simply stated, the ascension completes the resurrection. And with the ascension perfected and Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, the stage is set for the fulfillment of his promise to send an advocate to the apostles. On the feast of Pentecost next week, the power of the Holy Spirit is given to those apostles. But let us not forget for an instant, we are all given the power of the Holy Spirit as well. On that day, the apostles realized that Christ's church, his bride, was now in their hands and in the hands of the human Christians that would follow for centuries. We sit here at this very moment, carrying on the same work given to those disciples over 2,000 years ago. The church today is in our hands, and it is our responsibility to nurture, strengthen, and yet at times defend her when challenged. Is there much work to do? You bet there is. But I believe that we are rising to that challenge. In our own cathedral, we serve a hot lunch to our homeless brothers and sisters 365 days a year. There are countless other religious and lay-based ministries in our community that come to the aid of those in need, those seeking shelter, or help to overcome an addiction that is out of control. Our local Catholic Charities, joined by Catholic charities from around the world, never turn their back on those seeking to escape poverty, oppression, and heaven knows how many other perils. And last, but certainly not least, when those who face devastation from earthquakes, floods, or other natural disasters, our Catholic Services Appeal ministers can be counted on being one, if not the first, organization coming to their aid. These examples, as well as many others, is our today answer to God's call. We pray and call on the Holy Spirit to continue giving us the strength we need to continue our given task. We pray and call on the Holy Spirit to keep us focused in order to avoid those distractions that may attempt to cloud our resolve. And we pray and call on the Holy Spirit to always remind us that we too share in the promise of his glory at the moment of our own ascension, entering into everlasting life in that kingdom that he has prepared for us.